There's no change without huge pain. People are not changing or implementing process because it's not painful enough. For me, it was extremely painful to have to select a toilet 3 times and go ahead and buy the freaking toilet and then pick it up and give it to the contractor. That was so painful to me that I'm like, no, I'm going to create a finishes list with everything here so I have a pulse and I can duplicate moving forward.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Liz Faircloth.
And I am Andressa Ghidelli.
We are the hosts of the Invest Her podcast. So I don't know about you, Andressa, but in today's crazy world, more and more investors are managing multiple projects at once. And whether they're scaling or whether they're just bring on that next property, and it can get complicated, it can get chaotic. And we stand for chaos not happening in these women's lives and investors' lives. So on today's episode, I'm going to interview Andressa because she started with managing one property, flips, et cetera. And by the end of her really scaling that business for herself, she got to 15 managing at once. And so I really want to dig in, Andressa, with you to talk about how did you set yourself up for the most success? So I'm going to start with this question. How did you prioritize tasks across your multiple projects? Like, how did you do that? And then I want to dig into tools and strategies, but how did you do that?
I'm going to start by taking a step back because when I started my first and single project, I did not have the skills, neither the vision, how as a person would do that. And why would a person do that? Because my first project was chaotic. There were no systems and process in place. I didn't know what I didn't know. So it was too much, too many decisions to be made from every single finish that I had to do, multiple conversations with contractors because I did not set up expectations. So the quantity of that specific project was too much. And just the thought process of duplicating that 3 times, 4 times, 5 times made me like spin. It's like, I can do that. And I think that a lot of investors are looking to duplicate chaos. And that's not what we are talking here.
Ooh, say that again. I like that.
Yeah. So many investors are not able to scale because they're thinking that they need to duplicate the current chaos, and that's not possible. What we are proposing here is you are able to duplicate the systems and process that you have in place. But if you don't have those, you cannot duplicate. Beyond that, your mindset. I was not like, oh, let me put all those systems and process together in place. And once
you
I
weren't?
Have those, that let me scale.
Yeah,
that didn't happen like that.
Hmm.
I was on my first project and I'm like, that's it. And then a great deal came across and I was like, I can't pass that. I got to handle that. Right. And then I was on my second deal, like doing 2 deals at the same time. And guess what happened? A third deal came along. I couldn't pass it. So I was forced to start doing it and creating that skill set to create the tasks. That's how everything started for me.
Let's break that down because I think that's the road that many investors that are listening are on. They're in the first, the second, or even the third project, and then they get presented with 1, 2, 3 more. And it feels like, whoa, I don't want to pass this up. And that's really the name of the game. As you start to get more seasoned and more well-known in your area, people start bringing you deals, more opportunities. So if they're looking at their current project per se and trying to set themselves up for multiple projects, what are some of the first steps they would take?
One of my mentors always said to me, there's no change without huge pain. So people are not changing or implementing process because it's not painful enough. Right. For me, it was extremely painful to have to select a toilet 3 times and go ahead and buy the freaking toilet and then share the toilet and pick it up and give it to the contractor. That was so painful to me that I'm like, no, I'm going to create a finishes list with everything here, all the materials, all the links, everything that is needed. So I have a pulse and I can duplicate moving forward. I think you start by fixing the items that you are doing multiple times. If it is something that you are repeating over and over again, I have been using the same paint for 12 years. And I know designs change and things change, but this paint kind of like goes with everything. And until somebody says, wow, that's really outdated, right? Why I'm still getting like, oh, this looks very cool. I love it. What is this color paint? I'll keep using it. I think it starts with creating and implementing templates, for example. When you purchase your house, right? Your address, your company's address, your information, it doesn't change. So have a template for it. Have a template for everything that you don't have to keep repeating over and over again because you're trying to gain time. That's how you start with the small items that you are doing over and over again that don't need to be repeated.
I love that. So you got the finishes list, and I've seen it. It is very robust with hyperlinks to the specific paint, toilet, you know, what toilet you should get in what store, right? So it's specific. I love that. So let's keep going down the rehab. Let's use rehab as an example. You get the finishes list. What are other templates that you put into place that are like the must templates that you need?
Yeah, contracts, right? If you're working with contractors, you have to have a contract that your lawyer draft that protects you. As you start working with more sophisticated contractors, they will present you their contract and it's totally fine. So you're going to then share with your lawyer their contract or vice versa, share your contract with them and say, hey, those are the clauses that are must that I'm not going to cross those out because those protect me. And then you kind of blend it, both of them, and then you move forward. So it's a dance. So the contract, the scope of work, always get the W-9 up front, always. And I mean always get the W-9 up front because I don't want to waste time chasing people at the end. It's a game of time, right? I don't want to chase it. So what can I do in bulk? So is the contract, the finishes list, the payment plan. Let me emphasize that with a highlighter here. The payment plan with the phases are attached to the contract. The waivers, all of it. The finishes list, it's all in bulk before a check is signed and an exchange is made that I need to have all of this. Proof of insurance. All of those documentations is just like, it's a quick list. Send it to the contractor. I need all of this.
I love that. Something that you do really, really, really well. One of the many things, Andressa.
Oh, there you go. I like it. I like this. Keep going.
You like that, right? Keep going. Keep going down this path. No, but one of the things that you do really well that I've learned from you is that you have this ability to be like very task focused within the task at hand, meaning you're able to look at things in kind of bulk, saying, okay, I'm going over, say, marketing today, and I'm going to approve in bulk all the different things that are happening in marketing.
Yeah.
And that just seems so obvious. However, it's not always obvious. People are doing tasks on marketing Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, and then they're doing this, they're doing that. And they're almost like, it's like you're learning to shift gears and you're shifting so quickly that it's bringing you out of the kind of focus into something else. So I'm sure you did the same thing, to your point, when you were managing multiple projects. So did you have specific time blocks, days that you were focused on, you know, bulk decisions like this?
Bulk is one of my favorite words.
It is.
Right?
And you're like a master at it. Tell us your secrets.
Let me tell you the truth. I am a single mom. I don't have the time. I have to do it. So it's not like, oh, I chose to. Many times it was not a choice. That's all I got. I got Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to meet the contractor, or Mondays. That's it. Right. As you start working with more sophisticated contractors, I don't need to meet them several times. We have a specific meeting. We go over in bulk of everything that needs to be decided. And then you follow through. That's all. I think it comes down to you set your expectations and then you raise the bar on the items that you no longer tolerate. You don't tolerate certain things. For example, lack of organization of a contractor, multiple types of communication back and forth, tons of emails, not under a single chain. That's not going to work. How can we make decisions in bulk? That is my point. How can I meet you? We go over all the decisions that need to be made and we are good there versus you requesting my energy and thinking time to do that. Remember back in the day, Liz, I don't know if you remember this, then in Brazil, you had those types of cars that they use alcohol, not gasoline.
I don't remember those days.
So it's a different type of fuel. But the point is that you needed to kind of like turn the car on in order to warm up and then you would go.
Yeah.
Interesting. Right? And I feel the same way. If you're not doing things in bulk, you are warming up. You're taking energy from your body, from your brain to warm up and devote to that task. It could be an email. It could be a question about your construction. It doesn't really matter. But I don't like to do that. I like to make decisions in bulk because then I warm up once and I'm devoting my time and energy once. Because I'll tell you, as you are scaling your business and you have different things going on, the more that you chop things, worse it is. Then you're like, you have nothing left. There's no fuel. There's nothing there. And then you also set the expectations for people. You force people gently how to be more efficient as well and say, I'm not proving things like one thing. No, give me the whole thing and I'll prove it in at once, which also forces me to understand how I make decisions and what do I need to make decisions quickly.
So what did you do with your contractors? And I'm sure you didn't start out that way, but you... How did you have those conversations? Set the bar of like, this is how we're going to manage expectations. This is what I need. Did you have like a meeting with them? Did you have a kickoff meeting? Like, how did you present that? Because that seems like a really important conversation that needs to happen at the beginning and has to be really clear. How did you get clear for yourself? And then how did you communicate that to the contractor?
I don't know if I can take the credit for that. I think the contractors that I had taught me along the way, the good ones and especially the bad ones that I had, you know, the ones that did not follow through with their word, that did not show up, and the ones that really elevated, they brought to the table their A game and they showed me that, yeah, you're able to do multiple at the same time. We just need to put systems and processes in place and everybody has to have integrity, meaning what they say, what they think, what they say, and what they do is in alignment. That's the bottom line. If somebody is not following through, I'm sorry, that's a lack of integrity, and that is a deal breaker for me. I cannot trust you because you're simply not following through. And let me clarify this, right? Because you say, oh, well, what are you talking about? If a contractor says that the timeline is 6 months, but something happened and then 7 months, is that a lack of integrity? No. If the person comes in advance, not like the day of, right? And say, hey, I'm watching the timeline here. This happened. We could not do the concrete because of the weather. It delayed 2 months. So we are adjusting it. We're not going to meet that deadline there. This is what I am proposing for us to try to reduce. And that's something that I want to emphasize. I am able to make very quick decisions with data. I'm a database person. So I share with everybody that comes to me from our team, volunteers, from meetups, anything, doesn't matter, contractors, it doesn't matter. They come to me with a problem and three solutions, three possible solutions, and which solution they think is the best. That makes my job much easier. And I think that that's the position that I am right now in terms of requesting people to do that instead of being the thinker and the problem solver for everything, not able to scale that way. I ask them to come with a problem and three possible solutions in which one they are going to recommend as the best option.
So there's a few things that I'm hearing, and I think that everyone listening needs to pick up as a great kind of takeaway, right? What you're talking about is proactive communication, right? Proactive, like setting the standards. This is the rules of engagement for this project and working with me to get to the finish line. That's proactive. That's not like you showing up, okay, contractor, or okay, whomever, which we do. You know, and like you're giving that power away. And what you're saying is that you're taking the reins and getting really clear on your expectations ahead of time. And that takes thought, that takes intentionality, that takes planning. And I just want to reiterate that everyone listening, if you're naturally not doing that in your business, you need to start doing that, right? And it comes back to personality. It comes back to, you know, a lot of different things, but I think that's key. Because you're managing the business plan, whether it's a large multifamily or whether it's a single family rehab, you're managing the business plan. So timeline and budget are according to the business plan. You get to the goal. That's what you're on the payroll to do. And you're not being reactive. And I want to highlight that because everyone listening is thinking, okay, there are areas that I could be more proactive. What does that look like for you, right?
And it's not linear. It's not perfect. Listen, I make mistakes every single day, but I don't make the same mistake. That is the ultimate goal. I want to make new mistakes. I want to fuck up in new areas, right? I don't want to make the same mistake all over again. Because if I'm making the same mistake all over again, I didn't get to the root cause of what led me to do that. And it's going to get worse, right? I think I want to be a toothpick. As a leader across the board, no matter what project I am involved, I want to be a toothpick, meaning I am in and I am out. As a leader, I want to be in at the beginning, setting the strategy, the vision, making sure we're all clear with that, then I'm out. And then if there is any obstacle, change, roadblocks, then I am in, I hear the proposals, then I am out. That's something that I learned later on through one of our mentors. And I wish I had learned that much earlier. It will have saved me so much time and I'll be able to manage many projects more than what I've done so far.
I love that. And your favorite apps. What are your favorite apps?
Oh yeah.
To manage multiple projects.
I cannot live without Voxer because I think it's easier for us to communicate through voice and in groups when you are doing that. With specific projects, construction projects, I want to make sure that the documentation is organized on Google Drive so we can share. And if I am at the location, I can open up Google Drive and see any architect projects. I can double check the payment plan. I have access to it at any time. But back in the day, when I was doing those 15 projects at the same time, I did not have ChatGPT as I have right now. I think I use ChatGPT for everything from like anything that I did before that took time, like listing or really bouncing ideas with ChatGPT. I think that's what I'm using right now. So my top three will be Voxer, Google Drive, and ChatGPT at the moment. If I keep thinking more here, then you'll be more.
And how about managing the money side? Because I know those 15 projects weren't all on the same stage, right? There were different lenders, different money coming in, coming out. How did you set yourself up for the most success when it came to managing that money? So, you know, everything's kind of running on all cylinders.
The key for me was to manage the payment plan and payment itself the same way independently if that was a cash deal, if it was a private money lender deal, or if it was a bank deal. We used the same spreadsheet and the process was the same. Basically, is phase one. Once phase one is completed, we do a walkthrough. The payment is at the bottom. And then the payment is released. If I have a bank that somebody needs to come over, walk through, review, and make the payment. So for the contractor, I always say the same thing. They don't know if it is cash, if it is my money, if somebody else's money, if it's a bank money. I always say, we need to walk through, double check if the phase is completed. If it's not, we adjust accordingly. And that's how they're going to get paid. So I don't have multiple templates depending on what's going on. I have one that I use the same, and that makes my job much easier when you have a standard across the board. Their job is also easier because I want to make sure the contractor, hey, next project, guess what? It's the same thing. We're going to do the same
thing.
Rinse
and repeat.
It makes our lives so much easier. I don't have to have those conversations with him again. I already have his W-9. I already have the insurance. I already have. You already know. So all the most recent projects that I am involved that are not in large scale because I'm shift my strategy, I don't have to have longer conversations with them, actually. They're kind of like, hey, I know you're going to ask me. This is how I know that they know me. When they come to me and say, hey, I knew you were going to ask me this. So I already brought samples to you so you can see it.
That's, I was like, that's saving time and energy.
And yeah, and they say, and I brought samples of several things so we can make all the decisions in bulk. I was like, yay.
I love that. I love that. So here's what I encourage everyone listening to do. There's one thing that this sparked for you, because we all can run things more efficiently, whether it's the decisions in bulk, whether it's the payment plan, regardless of where the money is coming from. Where are you repeating yourself? What checklists and templates do you need to put in place? One template that could save you time, money, and energy. God, if you did all these things, your energy and time would be saved incredibly. But what we stand for, right, Unjusta, is doing one thing. And share that one thing inside our Facebook group. Tell us how that one template, that one idea is saving you time and money and being more proactive in your business. Because that's the name of the game. And do something about what you learned. And thank you, Unjusta, for sharing your wisdom with us.
Thank you so much. And if you guys have any questions, please tag me on our Facebook group. I'm happy to support. Bye. If you enjoyed this podcast and want to receive updates on our next interviews, go to our website, therealestateinvestor.com. There, you can subscribe to our show, become part of our investor community, and get updates on upcoming episodes.
If you like our show, please share with other women who would benefit. And don't forget to leave us a rating on iTunes. We'd really appreciate it. And as always, we encourage you to take one action as a result of today's show and put it into motion so you can live both a financially free and balanced life. Thanks for spending time with us.
Ciao.